5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live today from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and we got a lot to hammer out throughout the show today, so it should be a lot of fun. We're going to have UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley on the show. Coach Smiley going to talk about the recruiting trail thus far, new faces on the roster, well, and the fact that 100% capacity going to be pretty much all over the place, but specifically for the University of Northern Colorado. So that'll be good. We'll talk to Coach about that. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, we'll talk to him in the second hour. Moving him to the second hour today. Got to ask Mark this. For the last 2-3 years or so, every year going into the men's basketball season for Tad Boyle and company, we've had some pretty big expectations. But now that McKinley Wright, to name a few, have moved on, and we'll see what happens with McKinley in the NBA draft, what are the expectations now? And does Tad, is this one of those years where, you know, not a lot of pressure? There's been pressure on Tad Boyle for the longest time to always get in, but is Tad now that kind of coach where you don't care that McKinley Wright is gone? You put the pressure on Tad Boyle regardless. So we'll talk to Mark about that in the second hour. The All-Star game, right? I mean, hey, it was still special. It's in, you know, we talked to Drew yesterday, Drew Kreisman of DNVR Rockies. They got the purple carpet, the red carpet, whatever you want to call it. Baseball's fame walking around. I wasn't down there, obviously. I did have a couple of chances. We probably could have gone. But, you know, the day-to-day demands up here are different, and it's a journey, Colfax. You've been to Denver.
I've been up. It's an hour drive and no traffic.
With zero traffic.
Yeah.
And drive time, now it's rush hour all day.
No, thank you.
Going to Denver, man. I got a meeting in the morning there tomorrow morning. So I am heading down there, actually. But it's for business. It's business, Colfax. It's all business, all the time. This show's business. This is what we do.
100%.
100%.
No messing around.
No screwing around, man. We got to get after it. We got things to work on. We got things to do. Big things here, KFKA. My goodness. The All-Star game, though, itself, I don't care. I mean, I just don't care. Home run derby, I'll admit. There was something cool about knowing it was in Denver and it was for our state and our fans. But the game itself, whatever. The home run derby was a little more fun than I anticipated. I normally don't like the home run derby because if you've seen one home run, you've seen them all. But I like the rule changes, the 3 minutes, and you got to get as many as, because you do see a strategy. You can't just go out swing, 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 swing. You got to like pace yourself. So I do like that the home run derby can edit, can make changes. You and I were randomly talking about the All-Star games and how none of the All-Star games are fun. They're not. They're not really cool. It's the stuff before that. You know, Pro Bowls, like the skills competitions. I used to be into that. I'm not so much anymore. Basketball, of course, you have your three-point, your ball handling, and your slam dunk contest. What do you like better, the slam dunk contest or the home run derby?
If I had to pick, it'd be home run derby.
Yeah, I would go there too, and I'm more of a basketball guy. And the reason being, there's only so much you can do with a dunk. Like, we've seen Blake Griffin kind of jump over a car. I say kind of because he jumped on the front end slope of the vehicle. It's not like he jumped over the highest point of the car. It was still impressive. I couldn't do it. It was still impressive. I mean, we've seen Rondo dunk it, blowing out a cupcake with a candle on a cupcake at the base of the rim. We've seen cool things like that. But what more can you do?
Yeah.
Between the leg dunk, alley-oop, behind the, you know, there's only so many things. Home run, same thing. What more can you do other than hitting a ball high into the air for a home run? But they can edit how the timing works. It feels like it's a race. And when you put a clock to anything, and I know that players get so much time to dunk it or whatever, but it's, yeah, I'm going derby on that. But I was reading the article in the Denver Post this morning from Mark Kisla about baseball's got a problem when the home run derby is outweighing the All-Star game. I mean, I don't think it's the, if you're going to say that's the problem with baseball, then you're in trouble because that's not a problem. That's just All-Star games in general take a very, very far back seat to the regular season or award shows or any kind of, like, you know, extracurricular thing like the Home Run Derby. There's no doubt. We knew that going in. The Home Run Derby is way more fun. The ticket costs were way more for the Derby than they were for the actual All-Star game. So, I mean, we knew those things going in. AL beat the NL 5-2. AL's now won 8 times in a row. Don't care about the game. They tried to add the venom to the, or they had venom to this game for a while, where the winner gets to be the host of the final, or gets the, you know, the home field advantage in the World Series. So AL wins. Well, if they go 7 games, then it's wherever the AL team's location is. That still didn't do that much, but at least they tried to make it mean something. I mean, it means nothing to me at all. When I was a kid, these games did mean something. Like the Pro Bowl, oh, the AFC versus the NFC, oh, this is going to be, man, rivalry. But then you get older and you're like, they don't even care. They're going to play, but they're never going to make these games great. I always say do away with them, but the almighty dollar comes in. If you make more than it's worth, then they're not going to stop. And why should they? I just don't have to watch all the time. Yeah, last night, kind of into it for Denver. Do you think that Dick Monfort obviously was there, obviously seeing everything that's going on, obviously a big reason for that. Do you think that he looked at this and said, man, we're missing out? Because this, I'm telling you, Colfax, I'm a Nuggets guy. And I know we got our Avs guys out there. If the Rockies are good and the Nuggets are good and the Avs are good, I believe that this state can easily get behind the Rockies more so than the others. In fact, I say this. I think that if the Rockies were like a regular fixture in the playoffs, not 5 times in their existence, a regular fixture, threatening a World Series every now and again, I think this state, I don't know that anybody ever overtakes the Broncos, but I think the Rockies would be the closest thing. I mean, look at the, I mean, these are baseball fans just filling Denver this weekend. And if you're Dick Monfort, I mean, that had to remind you, give you a glimpse of what we recall a few years back, several years back now, when it was Rocktober. Or does this not do anything? Is it just business as usual? We're not going after the big market, guys. We just can't do it. Man, if you could, if you would change. And listen, I've been on both sides of this argument with Dick Monfort, the boycott and all that. I don't go there. But I'll tell you this, Colfax, that is the only way to change it. That would be the only way. Because how long has Dick been involved with the Rockies? Early 2000s? If it's not changed by then, I mean, yeah, you knew it was going to be packed for the All-Star game. You knew it was going to be crazy. I mean, I don't know that we quite pictured how crazy it was going to be, but it was great for the city. It's great for the state. Major League Baseball was floored. I think they should do the home run derby. They should do the All-Star game there all the time. Home run derby. Let them go. Let them go nuts every year. But I get it. You want to market and go throughout different states, and that makes sense. I don't think Dick Monfort went, oh my gosh, wow, people do like baseball around here. No, they show up for a crappy team on a regular basis. So Dick knows that this state possesses a huge baseball fan base. And a lot of them still come out to Coors Field, even if the Rockies are bad. So, no, I don't think Dick Monfort took a step back and said, okay, I'm going to change my ways. I will tell you, though, I mean, if at the end of the day, what we've been discussing about, you know, Greg Fiesel, the president, saying that, Patrick Saunders report saying that the feeling is that Bill Schmidt's going to stick around. If that happens and you trade Trevor Story, when does it start, like, even for the big defenders like me? And I'm not defending Dick Monfort, mind you. I'm defending the idea that this boycott is, like, you're a bad fan if you don't boycott the Rockies. I've defended that. But if you hire Bill Schmidt as the permanent GM, and then you trade Trevor Story, when as a fan do you finally just go, I mean, come on. you keep hiring from within the organization. You're trading all your great players away. I mean, you go to Tulo, you go to DJ, you go to Nolan, and DJ was a free agent, I get that, but you go to Nolan. Now you're going to Trevor. Do you have any hope that this Benny Montgomery, who they drafted with the eighth pick, let's say that he's a stud. How long's he got in Colorado? I mean, that is got to be the thinking if you're a Rockies fan. Even if a guy does work. I mean, the idea of trading John Gray? What's the point of, well, we got to rebuild? But these guys are still pretty young. What is Gray, 26? So let's go, we want to rebuild, but we can't have 26-year-olds. We need 23-year-olds. I mean, is 3 years that big of a difference? So we're going to move on from Story. We're going to move on from Gray so that we can rebuild. I'm telling you, I'm glad we have a few weeks before the trade deadline yet. If the Rockies bust out, if they bust out of the gates here, and they get the Dodgers on Friday, so big if, does that give you hope? Let's say the Rockies get 6 games under 500. 5 games away from that? Let's get 6 games under within a month. By mid-August, they're 5 to 6 games under 500. Now, the trade deadline's at the end of July, but okay, let's say they do it in July, before the trade deadline. Do you make a run? Do you make a go and say, hey, we can squeeze into the play? If the Rockies somehow, some way, and again, they do it, though, this would be the most unlikely of postseason appearances in their history. The World Series was pretty crazy when they won, 21 out of 23. So, you're going to keep Schmidt. You're going to trade Trevor. You're going to do all these things. And you probably will get some kind of a boycott if it just keeps happening, I guess. Maybe not. It was sad, too. The Nolan Arenado thing. Everybody's like poetic and it finally put an end. Here was Nolan at the end of it all, kind of talking about what it meant to him to have the fans cheering him on and all that hoopla. Here's Nolan.
I think we all understand that sometimes when you do work and you do good work, sometimes it doesn't get noticed. And sometimes you want to be appreciated for what you did. And that's in everyday life, you know, whatever. It could be anything. You know, you do something with somebody and you want them to say thank you, I guess, in a way. And I'm not that I want them to say thank you, but the fact that they did it means a lot. I never ask for answers or thank yous for anybody. You know, I just try to do the best I can. But the fact that they appreciated it, like I said, it means a lot to me because, that's what I try to do is just play hard. And sometimes you get unnoticed for playing hard or, you know, people don't, I guess, appreciate it. And the fact that Colorado did, I mean, like I said, I love them and I appreciate it. It was an unbelievable experience, but it was great. Running onto the line and seeing all them. And I really try to take it in. You know, usually I'm pretty locked in on, but being at the All-Star game, you're just trying to have fun. And I just, you know, I really appreciated the moment and it was an incredible time.
Still sting hearing him and seeing him and all that? Or is this finally put some closure to it and we just move on? It's still going to go down as one of the most bizarre situations ever, even though I've made my peace with it. I've talked about it several times on the show. It kind of made sense, but trading John Gray doesn't make sense. Like, if you're saying, all right, third baseman's not going to do it, we have to invest in pitchers. Although a lot of MLB writers are watching the Home Run Derby and they said, Rockies, invest in sluggers, just go. Get as many guys that can just hit the hell out of the ball. Defense be damned. Just go. Well, that's why they got Montgomery, maybe. Maybe that's why they drafted him. In 5 years, we'll find out. but the Rockies clearly want to go. They want to get pitching. Germán Márquez had a great performance. Just awesome seeing him there. And Bud Black shot down trade rumors again. So, listen, the Nolan thing, it sucks. $50 million, I know that's always thrown around there. They were going to move on from him. He wanted out. It made sense. Bye-bye. And you're not winning with the best third baseman. But you can win with great pitching. Great starting pitching and solid bullpen. Why would you trade John Gray? That's a position you need. I always thought it was interesting. Remember when the Raiders traded Khalil Mack? And they got tons of first-round picks. Well, who do they pick in the very next draft? In the first round. Early. A pass rusher. You already had one. You had Khalil Mack. So you traded him to just go do what you already had. You could have not traded him, kept that position that's already insured, draft somebody else with a later pick. You already have a pretty good pitcher in John Gray. Why would the idea be, all right, let's trade him away so we can build our pitching? Huh? 20 minutes after the hour, before we break, shout out to Eaton Country Club. You can get all the perks of a top class country club without blowing your savings account. Eaton Country Club prides itself on their pace of play, green conditions, and having members who love their home club. Become a member today at EatonCC.net. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Steve Smiley still to come on the program at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, are we in for some more rule changes for Major League Baseball? We'll talk about it next.
Listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Stopped into Rev Chiropractic yesterday. Dr. Tyler Terry taking care of me there. Depending on, you know, when you go, whatever, Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada, they both have very unique styles, too. And I love working with them. And I'm telling you, I was feeling a little coiled up. I hadn't been in like 2 or 3 weeks because I was off 2 weeks ago. Last week was just trying to catch up from being off, so didn't get a chance to stop in, but went in yesterday, got my appointment scheduled, very easy. They do the schedule app. It's simple. You can reschedule if you need to. They work with busy people. That's another big thing, but I'm telling you, their standard is dedicated to serving the needs of you and your family, and I'm telling you, the care and preparation that goes into all of the visits, each and every one. I mean, I'm getting my regular check, you know, and Dr. Tyler Terry has me set up, and he's like, hey, anything else? What else is happening? Anything in your life that's causing stress? Is there anything else you want me to take a look at? It's not like when you go to the doctor for this, and then you start asking them about other things, and they're like, wait a second, that's not what you set the appointment for. That's what I love about Rev Chiropractic. They're in Greeley off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue, right by Home Depot. Tell them we sent you here from The whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, you just got to text KFKA to that number and you'll get in. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. What are your expectations for the UNC Bears football team in 2021? Didn't play last year. Year before that, I think, did they win two? Was it two games under Ernest? Winning record? Make the playoffs. Again, it's FCS. They make playoffs there. Zero expectations. You're just like, all right, Ed McCaffrey, do your thing. But he has been there 2 years. So some people are two seasons worth, I suppose, getting ready to be. This would be his second season if it wasn't for COVID. What that means is he has had time to recruit. So the idea of, oh, well, we won't know until he gets his guys. He was hired, you know, a year and a half ago. So it's a little bit different. Zero expectations or a few wins. 3-4 wins would be good. What are your expectations? What would be considered a failure if they don't do this?
They have to get at least two wins.
So you're
not
just
be a
like,
failure. But I have zero expectations. Seriously, I have zero expectations. That doesn't mean I think they're going to not win a single game. I just think I'm not going to put any expectations on the year.
I have zero expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Only 16% of the Hooligans say zero. 41% say they think they need to have a winning record. Based on what, fellas? Dylan McCaffrey? Okay. We don't know anything about this team. I know Aaron Rath is putting together some great write-ups at 1310kfk.com. You can go check out the position reviews there. That'll give you kind of an idea. But especially now more than ever, some teams played last year, some teams didn't. In the spring, the Bears obviously opted not to. I have zero expectations because McCaffrey's coached 2 years of high school football. Because we were in a COVID year. Also because I have no idea what to expect from a coach that's never coached at this level to the players, the transfers, and all that. I don't know. You had your offensive coordinator, Dave Baldwin, and then Colfax just gone. Just up in smoke. He's like Ed's mentor, comes here because he's retired, Coach Dave Baldwin, and Coach kind of convinced him to come back, I guess, and then a few short months ago, right before the spring game, he's gone. So 41% of you hooligans and 25% of you saying you made to make the playoffs. Whoa. You're setting yourself up for disappointment, just like you Aaron Rodgers fans. I have to do it, Colfax. My job on this show is to make sure everybody has these realistic expectations of everything going in. And for the Bears, you should just, do I expect wins any amount? I'm certainly rooting for wins, but I'm not expecting that. So, I'm saying zero. I'm with you. Zero expectations. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. I'd be curious to get your thoughts. 30 minutes after the hour. No limit collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. We, thanks to Fresh Coat Painters, we have the signed Floyd Little jersey that they got from No Limit Collectibles. Man, they have this a great memorabilia. Awesome stuff at No Limit Collectibles in Loveland off of Highway 34. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Now, Colfax, before we catch up with Steve Smiley, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Thirty-five minutes after the hour, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Welcome back to the show. Glad you could be with us. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Men's Basketball Head Coach, great friend of mine, great friend of the station's, Coach Steve Smiley. Coach, it's always an interesting time to try to catch you because I know you're in that strange time of year between recruiting and then also looking forward to, you know, the upcoming year, the upcoming schedule. But we do appreciate you giving us some time, my man.
Yeah, Brady, it's good to hear from you. Good to catch up. I'm excited to do this. It's always a kind of, like you said, a funky time of the year, this June, July. Are they recruiting? Are they working their guys out? Like, is there a camp going on? There's just so much weird stuff. But we're here in the office. We actually get back on the road tomorrow. And then Friday is when the next, kind of live club AAU session starts. It's week two of that, so we were all out last week, Thursday through Sunday, I think it was. So we're right in the middle of it, man.
Yeah, so and now it's, we're all pretty much back to normal. We'll talk about the UNC Athletics facility set to have 100% capacity. But how about the recruiting trail? Because I know you guys picked up a lot of useful tools on the recruiting trail, too, where you could do the Zoom and all that. But you've told me before, there's just no way to replace sitting down one-on-one and having those conversations and watching those players, learning about them.
Yeah, right now we're kind of in the phase of it's an evaluation period, so it's just a watching phase. And you're usually, you don't want to just, be out there working to work, watching random games, kids that you probably won't ever recruit. But the truth of the matter is, even in our recruiting areas, like last week, we were down in all over the place, but a lot of our stuff was down in Alabama and Georgia. There was two big shoe circuit events out there, Under Armour and Adidas, and there's some independent terms as well. And the truth of the matter is you got so many kind of names you're trying to sort through that if the schedule drops right, you've got to watch a lot of kids and start to, in your mind, kind of prioritize what you think you know. But, man, after you watch 3, 4, 5 games, you learn a lot more. So in a normal year where you've seen them in high school, you've seen them here, there, wherever, it's probably at that point a little bit more of, I don't say babysitting, but more like you know what they are, the kids. But not this year because we're just starting to watch live. So there's a couple short weekends in June where it's more high school based, and now in July it's club AAU based, and so we really are like it's a steep learning curve, and it's got to be a quick learning curve because you got to make some decisions. But it's been good, man. It's been really good, and just the ability to watch them live, watch the interactions, watch them. Sometimes you're three rows up behind their bench, and you can see all the stuff that matters: body language, communication, things like that. So it was terrific last week for sure.
That's interesting. How big is that? You see a guy tearing it up, you know, stat-wise, just a freak of nature athlete. But if you catch something like that, the body language side, how far does that set a player like that? Let's say we got a stud player that's just absolutely dominating, but you see something that catches your eye. What does that do in your chart? Does that knock them down quite a bit? Or are you saying, hey, we're back on that?
You're always trying to find ways to separate players. You know, maybe you have six guys for one spot. And really, this year it gets really complicated because, you know, all the current players got that extra year. So there's so many players in college basketball, right? There's an addition of an extra year of guys still kind of floating around out there. And the problem is, and I do feel bad for these kids, these current, you know, rising seniors. They really have a tough spot because there's not as many scholarships. There's not as many scholarships that will probably be doled out to them just because there's just too many consumed with that extra year everyone got this year. So now, your ability to say, okay, well, maybe we have one scholarship, maybe we have five, it's probably more in the small end, especially in the fall. And so you're looking for, you know, regardless, you're always looking for what can separate a kid. You know, it's like we always say, you know, you can do the same thing player A as player B can do, but you can do one more thing, well, then you've now separated yourself. And I do think when it goes to the question of, you know, whatever it is, body language or chemistry or character and things like that, I mean, that stuff really matters. And I think it matters in, you know, most programs in the country. It really matters for us. I don't think we're always going to just strike gold with, you know, a bunch of the highest talented players. You know, if those guys are playing well in those shoe circuits, there's, you know, 100 other Division I's watching them as well. But you got to find ways to be, you know, to separate yourself out with the little things that matter to each program. And that's different from program to program.
We're talking to UNC men's head basketball coach, Coach Steve Smiley. I'm always fascinated by the recruiting trail. You and I talked, I think, last year around this time, and I'm like, do you have an assistant that's like, here's the exact schedule? Because I never know when you can go, when you can't go, when you can make contact. I got to imagine navigating through that, especially in this day and age with all the new things happening in the NCAA. How do you keep it straight?
Well, the one nice thing is there's a recruiting calendar that it lays it out day by day the entire year, 365 days. You can do this on this day, but you can't do this. And then what happens is, you know, the college coach side, but then also the high school side and the AAU side, they have the same calendar. And so the events are built around the days that we can go out. And it all kind of starts to make sense once you've been through a few times. But, in terms of, like, building your schedule, there's only so much time to watch your kids. And, like, for me, I'll be in a couple different states and a couple different events this coming weekend. And so my staff they do a great job of lining me out with who I need to see, you know, maybe players that are high on my list, but also players I saw last week that, you know, after you watch them, then that next few 3 or 4 days after the event, that's where you're trying to really gather some intel. And, you know, is this a player that's, you know, in our wheelhouse? Do they have 15 offers already? What are they? And then you go to the next week. So the staff is, you know, there's a lot of meetings and a lot of organization to try to really maximize your time on the road.
Going into the other stuff, Coach, and again, different markets, and I get it. You know, you go to certain markets and the NIL thing, the name, image, likeness, the transfer portal, all that stuff. Are you concerned at all when you look at this and think, oh, is this going to distract players? Is this going to take them away from what their ultimate goal is? Is there part of that in your brain, or are you looking at it going more or less, hey, I love my guys, I trust my guys, I think they'll be able to navigate through all this just fine?
I think both. Yeah, I think both of those are the right answer. All of the above, right? I think on the one hand, I think, you know, for me, I think it's good that players have the opportunity to, to use their name, image, and likeness. Now, I think it's such uncharted territory, and the fact that we all thought different states were going to have to pass rules, and was it the Supreme Court or was it the NCAA? So now that it's just kind of out there, I think the biggest thing for players is especially in the kind of the first year of doing it, you know, what is the right stuff to do? What is the appropriate amount of time to devote to it? Because I think kind of getting your question, like, well, they can get really distracted, and at the end of the day, you're still trying to get that degree first, and you're trying to become as good of a player as you can be for yourself, for your team. And if you turn into this, in my opinion, if you turn into this, you know, full-time effort of building your brand and business, well, there's only so many hours in a day, right? So I think the education of that, and we're still going through that at our school, really understanding what they can do, can't do, what's the most efficient way for them to do it, you know, what are the things that the university or the staff are allowed to do, you know, work with them, what can we not do with them? So there's still a lot of questions now that this has kind of got opened up, I believe, on July 1st, right? So we're all trying to kind of going through it together. I think the fundamental idea of players being able to profit on their name, image, and likeness is great. And I think just like anything else, you open up such a huge opportunity, but just such a it's a whole new market for them. It's going to distract everybody for a little bit until everyone kind of understands more what to do and what not to do and all that. So we're all kind of going through that education phase right now, players, staff, the whole thing. But I do think that in the grand scheme of things, it should be a great way for them to make some extra money while in college.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's ways that you have to go about it. And ultimately, you hope that these kids are whoever they go with, these marketing agencies or whatever, essentially say, hey, we're taking all the work. We just got to get like a couple of days on the calendar where you do this and that. And then it's it.
Sure.
Once the season starts. So, and the other thing I thought too, Coach, it's kind of like these little mini marketing guys are running around promoting the program through different advertisers or whatnot that maybe certain avenues weren't reached. So there can be some positive,
yeah,
certainly reasons to be skeptical too. So I'm with you. It moves so fast too.
It moves so fast.
The Supreme Court to bam, we're doing it.
And the biggest thing, you know, the biggest advice that I think, you know, from our school and just trying to give our guys some guidance is like, hey, listen, you know, you've probably never dealt with this before. You need to understand or get someone, you know, that you can hire or whatever to understand what are the implications of whatever contract you sign with whatever company or whatever you're promoting or endorsing. Because at the end of the day, if you start making money, you're going to get taxed on that money. And you got to understand that stuff. And again, some of these kids don't quite understand that. Like, I certainly wouldn't have understood that at the age of 19 or 20. Like, okay, you know, I'm getting $1,000 and that's just $1,000, right? Well, no, I mean, you're going to get taxed. You're going to have to report that or how it is. So I think that's what scares me is that, you know, the kids start making money. And if they don't have the right guidance for people around them, which, you know, whoever that might be, that when that tax hits up and you've made income, there's tax. And so that's just an example of like, they got to be careful on that stuff. And again, with it being so new, in 2 or 3 years, everyone will understand like what to do and what not to do. But this first, you know, wave of kids, they've got to, in my opinion, at least tread lightly and be careful until they understand more of it.
Is that going to be something, and maybe at UNC you have something like this, where there is somebody there, a name, image, likeness person that kind of goes over all that with, hey, this is what to expect, this is what you'd be careful with. Is there going to be, or will there be, you know, some kind of guidance counselor specifically devoted to the name, image, likeness?
Yeah, I really have no idea if there will be a full new like position, especially this thing is opening up, you know, where schools across the country are still feeling the pandemic budget crunch, right? So I think it'll be interesting to see if, you know, new spots are opened up at all universities. But, you know, for us, I think it always starts with our compliance because they're the most tapped into this market. So I think they will be the kind of the forefront guidance for all athletes to say, okay, hey, is this cool? Is this not cool? You know, how do I report this income? What do I do? I think in the ideal world, you would hire someone for this, right? Just a person that's all they work on is name, image, and likeness. I've watched a lot of different Zooms and presentations, and there's a lot of consensus that, you know, each team should probably have, you know, someone on the staff, whether it's in the department or whatever, that at least is the kind of the go-to understanding what this means. And so we're really trying to sort through that ourselves as well. But there needs to be something, right, so that kids have somewhere to go to get their questions answered.
Yeah, no question about it. A lot of stuff to navigate through. Coach, this roster, I know you're returning some studs, man. I'm excited about Daylon Kuntz, Matt Johnson, Trayshawn Smoots, Bodie Hume, of course, our guy, Kaur Jokuch. I mean, so many good names, but you just keep adding. That's the wash, rinse, repeat part, right? We got to bring in the new guys to get ready to go. Can you talk to us about any of those names that Bears fans are listening right now? They're going, all right, we need to get these guys on our radar.
Yeah, I think to start with, you know, and we've had 5 weeks of practice. We're actually in kind of a quiet phase now. We still have some guys working out lifting, but we let the guys go home because 5 weeks, they're going to come back in about a week and a half. And then we actually have, I think we'll go about 8 full-out practices before we go to Puerto Rico. We're going on a foreign trip this year. So we're in a little bit of a break so that we don't burn them out. We'll come back here and we'll have some really good practices and we'll get to learn more. So we're going to learn so much more before school even starts then. In a normal year, you get one of those every 4 years. So it's a great time to do it. I think in the big picture, you know, yeah, you mentioned, you know, the top seven guys that were in our rotation to end last year, with it being, you know, Matt Johnson, Dalen Coons, Bodie Hume, Kurja Kooch, and then, you know, Bryce Kennedy, who was starting at the end of the year, Trey Smoots, who started at the end of the year a little bit, and then Jamel Melvin. All seven of those guys are back. And I'll throw Theo Hughes in there as well, who Theo didn't get as much opportunity to play, but Theo's a good player, and he's had a great summer as well. So the nucleus, the core, not losing those guys to the transfer portal was you know, mission number one. A lot of good players coming in. I think, you know, Drew Cookshausen, who's a grad transfer from McNeese State, he played for Coach Ferringer at Western Nebraska, and his last 2 years in Division I basketball, he made 199 threes in Division I, which is the most in the country. And, you know, for people that follow us, I mean, he's like a Trent Harris, who's one of the best shooters we've ever had here. I mean, Drew's one of the best shooters I've ever been around. His ability to just shoot it from any and everywhere is at the highest level. So Drew, and he's, you know, he's kind of like, you know, if you put him into a spot like a shooting guard. And then Dalton Connect, who was a highly recruited, highly sought after guy as a junior college player at Northeastern Junior College, right out there in Sterling. And Dalton Connect is a Colorado kid. I tell you what, he kind of grew in college, his last year in junior college, and he is a very talented, dynamic forward that can play. He can play at two or three or four, similar size and build to Bodie, a little different player, you know, in terms of how he plays, but can really shoot it, really athletic. We're super excited about him. And then, you know, we brought in a bunch of guards that, and a couple of these kids we didn't get up to the very end of that 5 weeks, but you know, Trent Hudgens from Santa Clara, he was a transfer from Santa Clara. Last year was his freshman year there, so he's technically still a freshman. He was from Phoenix, was a highly sought after kid in high school. Really excited about him. Zach Block, who played at Colorado Prep School. He's from Lawrence, Kansas. He was the Kansas Player of the Year. Zach's been tremendous as, you know, when he got out here these last 5 weeks. So I'm just kind of staring at my wall here, but it's been really, really good so far. Connor Creech, who technically would have been like a redshirt last year, didn't play much, but Connor Creech has had a great summer as well. He's going to really try to push for some minutes too. So long story short, we probably have too many guys, but that's probably a good problem to have. And you can get back now to kind of redshirting some guys, balancing your classes out. But technically right now we have like eight kids that could be considered freshmen because everyone gets their year back. So that's a lot of young kids, and a lot of those kids played last year. So it's kind of a funky deal, but I think we have some guys that address some major needs, just more shooting with Drew, Dalton, Trent Hudgens. You know, that was a really important thing. And I think that just the guys we brought in really fit with the returning guys in our core.
I'm pumped to see it. I love looking at a roster and you're seeing, okay, all these guys were pretty much involved last year. So that's exciting. Yeah. I know that's got to be something exciting for this entire program. Coach, we're pumped for you guys and always look forward to these conversations when we can make it happen. And I know you got a lot of big stuff coming up. So we're going to let you get back to it and we'll try to catch up soon. Okay.
Okay, sounds good, Brady. I appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Coach Steve Smiley, UNC men's basketball head coach. Great guy. Noob texting in. Noob says, Coach Smiley sounds like a guy I can have a beer with. Noob can have a beer with anybody. Come on. Right, Noob? Am I wrong about that? But no, seriously, isn't Coach Smiley just down to earth? He's just a cool guy. Great guy. I think they're going to be good. I thought they were going to be good last year, but they're returning everybody, essentially. They're bringing everybody back. We're running it back. Bodie Hume, he came on, like, those last two games in the conference tournament, like, two 30-point games. I expect that from him. Talking about expectations. For football, I have zero. Men's basketball, I expect this team to be competing as far as winning a regular season title, winning the tournament. I expect this team to be right there at the top. 12:52 the time. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. I got to get to MLB rule changes. We'll get to all of that. Nuggets draft workouts and so much more. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up in the second hour as well. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
What are your expectations for the UNC Bears football team in 2021? Winning record, zero expectations, make the playoffs, or get a few wins. You got Dylan McCaffrey, you got Ed McCaffrey, you got the star power there. Three McCaffreys, actually, with Max, too. Is that enough for you to really, like, I'm just trying to tell you, he was a great wide receiver for the Broncos. His name's huge. I'd make the same hire time and time again, but telling you as far as your expectations, you might want to tamp them down a little bit. All right, so we're changed a little bit here. We got 38% say winning record, 23% say zero expectations, tied with make the playoffs. So that moved up a little bit. 15% say a few wins. That's fine. I'll take a few wins. Whatever. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. When we come back, let's get right into Rob Manfred talking about changes coming to Major League Baseball, or I guess changes back to the way it was 2 years ago. And again, we try to eliminate defense from all sports. Major League Baseball's at it again. We'll talk about it next.